Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I am Brian Wampler of Wampler Pedals. And today I have my good buddy and cohort with Wampler named Jason Wilding. Now, if you're on Facebook, you probably know Jason already. If you follow our company or if you're in the Tone Group, Jason is responsible for a lot of that stuff, a lot of the Facebook posts. He pretty much does Twitter completely. Most of that stuff you see on there is him, even though sometimes I may jump in myself. Also, he, along with Alex, works on Instagram as well. And yeah, he's just a big part of the company. We all wear a lot of hats. So Jason does a lot of things. He's been with the company for quite a while. And he also is Gigger Extraordinaire. So today we talk about a new pedal that we're getting ready to release that he just got, his thoughts on it, his use of the a dual amp setup and stereo. So we talk about using a stereo setup a bit, and some other fun stuff, including some NAMM stories and some airline mishaps. So without further ado, let's jump right into that. And here's Jason. So you have the new, apparently it was released temporarily until I can stop it. Paisley Drive.
Deluxe. Yes, it arrived here last Wednesday or Tuesday, I think. And I was looking forward to having a few weeks of playing with it before I had to answer questions about it, get a few gigs in with it, test the water, see what it sounded like.
Right.
And then...
Yeah, so apparently, to the listeners, a company called, we call them AMS, American Music Supply is what it stands for.
Yes.
Apparently decided this morning was a good morning to prematurely release the Paisley Drive Deluxe.
Yes.
So what we've done this morning is a lot of back-end nightmare stuff, which is where we start calling people and screaming profanities at them for releasing something 3 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, there's a good job there's not a profanity filter on my email, because some of the emails I was sending this morning were quite laden and descriptive.
I noticed that you were talking about stoning certain people.
Yes. I think one of them said I wanted someone's head in a box. And other, it's just frustrating, though, because, you know, we kind of plan these things quite carefully, and we're famous for teasing. And, you know, to get it all going, have it all in place, because I've had most of this stuff ready now for a good couple of weeks. Like, there's a Facebook banner gone up, the web page has already, you know, it was all done and everything, the demos are starting to come in, and I found myself at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, when, you know, I really should have been taking my wife a cup of tea, sitting at my computer frantically launching product pages and putting photos up on Instagram, because once it had gone, we had to get ahead of the game. So yeah, it was great. A bit crazy this morning. Not my usual Sunday morning, but...
Yeah, it was not a fun thing to wake up to.
yeah, but, you know fortunately, the people in our Tone Group, our community of customers and friends, they were very quick to let me know that this was happening.
Right.
You know, it was my messenger that was alight. I had about five people saying, right, you know, when I first logged in, that they did this, and then more and more have been coming in throughout the day, so...
Right. So to the listeners, if you have small kids in the car, fast forward for about 5 minutes, because there's a big spoiler here for the kids, and you don't want that. So, and it's about Christmas.
No, so don't ruin it for me. Don't you dare.
I was explaining this to Jake Steffes, the Wampler engineer. I was explaining that this is a lot like telling your kids what they got for Christmas. Like, oh, you just got, you know... You just got some video games, and it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than waiting, like letting the excitement of the occasion build up, and it'd be like Christmas morning where you're opening the gifts, right?
Yeah, it's taking your kids Christmas shopping, effectively.
Yes, it's taking your kids Christmas shopping. That's really what it is. So thank you. Thank you to those that leaked this. That was job well done. Appreciate
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that, you know, considering who they were and, you know, who they are and how we've worked with them for a long time, it was probably an error on someone's part, put the wrong date in on the automated system.
I would think an error is once, but this isn't this the third time this has happened? I know it's been twice. I know that.
Yeah, we did have an instance when we went through the rebrand last year, and I was uploading the new products onto the website. And unfortunately, I have to make them live for a very short period of time to test them on screen. I normally do it when the US of A is asleep, because that's where most of our traffic comes from. And unfortunately, Google cached it. And someone Googled something that's similar, and it came up.
I'd love to have some of that Google cache.
Oh, it was just, yeah, that was the Plexi Drive Deluxe. And we did have one for the doctor last time around. Someone put it up a bit early.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to be a little bit more descriptive and definite in our language when we advise them of these things.
Apparently there's just, with some companies, we may not be able to ship the pedal to them until the day it's released.
Yes. Yeah. We're just going to have to exclude some people from the initial email shot, aren't we?
We can't keep telling the kids what they get for Christmas.
No. Satsuma and a piece of coal. That's all they're going to get for the next 3 years.
Oh, my goodness. So anyways, you're playing this Paisley Drive Deluxe now at the gig. That's yes. The first time you actually played it, right?
As the listeners won't know, but you know my life's a bit crazy at the moment. So I plumbed it into the board and I didn't even test it. I didn't even plug it in. I didn't even try it. I didn't even play through it at home because I trust you. And you told me it sounds
that's
good.
That's your first mistake.
So I thought, I'll give it a go. And I also plumbed in the TC Electronic Mimic for the first time for the gig and ran a stereo rig with the Bravado and the Quilter. So it was a bit mad when I turned up at the gig on Friday night.
Oh, it's crazy, though, with a Mimic in a stereo setup. It's just fantastic.
I'll get to that in a minute. That blew me away. Let's go back to that. If you put the tightness really wide open, it's the best slapback you'll ever have.
Yes. So the TC Electronics Mimic, I did a video on this, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago.
Because
people are like, this sounds like crap. It sounds like a chorus. I'm like, you got to use it in stereo. Like, you're not going to get a stereo sound out of one guitar speaker. You need two different amplifiers and two different speakers.
Yeah, I'm running a 2x12 cab that was a mono cab, and I managed to get hold of one of the old switching things from the back of a Marshall 4x12.
Right.
That allowed me to separate them both. So I had fun with the saw and stuff last week putting that
in. Yeah, so you're doing the same thing. I mean, you're just powering each speaker differently, which you need with the Mimic,
And it's quite nice because, I mean, this was the first time I'd used the Quilter 101 reverb as well. And that sounds really good compared to the older model they had. I mean, it's no Bravado, but it's really good. So you have two distinct tones coming at you as well. I wouldn't want to run it with the same amplifier twice. So to get that extra depth thing, a slightly different tone coming from each speaker sounded enormous. Yeah. And that was before I'd plumbed the Paisley Drive, before I kicked the Paisley Drive on, which, I mean... Right. Considering it was one of your circuits from a long time ago, wasn't it? The Underdog.
Yeah, the Underdog was 2010, maybe?
Yeah. Before that, because that's when I started working for you.
Okay, so it was 08, 09 then, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and I'd never actually played the Underdog. It's one of the only ones I'd never played. It never just felt right that I should be able in the position to play one. So I was, kind of excited and a bit nervous. I couldn't believe for a start it was a lot gainier than I thought. I thought it would be a bit more subtle, but there was a lot of tap. When I ran it down at about quite low, I think I was about 8 or 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was huge.
And do you have the fat switch? So there's a fat switch on the channel, the right side channel on the Paisley Drive Deluxe, which is modeled after the Underdog, basically.
I can't remember
because the fat switch in will give you a little bit more gain as well in the mid-range frequencies.
Ran it up to 15 volts in the end and just ran the gain at 8 or 9. I might have had the fat switch in, I don't know, it was dark and I was running late, so I can't remember. But once I'd got into it and I dug into it, because I've been using the Dual Fusion Live for a couple of years now and I love it. I'm a big fan of the Channel One side on that, the what people say is the Euphoria side.
Right.
I've loved it because it's very, I don't want to use the transparent word, but that's what it is. I didn't realize that I had become a little bit blasé about the fact it didn't have a huge character in its own right. It was just making the amp dirtier. Uh-huh. And then when I kicked the Underdog in, there was all this character and mid-range and fantasticness, and it was just incredible. It sounded huge. Absolutely huge.
You sound huge. Like huge.
It sounded absolutely massive, mate.
With the Y, right? Huge.
Yeah, right. Can't believe how huge it was. It was enormous. And the guys in the band just turned around and looked at me. The bass player in the band, he's a tone chaser, despite being a bass player. And he's fanatical about tone. And he just looked at me and smiled. And I thought, oh, this is a bit fun. And then when I ran the Paisley Drive side of it, pre-game, because I run two into one, because I don't like tube screamers on their own, but I think they're great when they go in and it's got a kind of a tube screamer feel to it.
A bit, yeah.
It was just massive. It was fat. The sustain, it was a lot. It didn't encroach into feedback as fast as the Dual Fusion did. So it was a lot more controlled.
Yeah, because I've already seen some posts on the Wampler Pedals group, like, how is this different than the Dual Fusion? And it's like, entirely.
Yeah.
It's entirely different. Even the Paisley Drive channel itself, the left channel, is totally different, you know, because on the Dual Fusion, I mean, it was derived from the Paisley Drive on the left channel, but I did several different things, one of them being, like, increase the volume, we changed some EQ. Like, it's just, it's not the exact same thing. Where
you put another gain stage in it, didn't you?
Yeah, there's another gain stage in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's it's two different things. Totally. Same type of switching arrangement though, as far as you know, independent one into two or two into one.
Well, yeah, because I use a true bypass looper live, so that was one of the things. That's why I've never used the hot wired live, for example, because I don't want to have to change my patch and then change the pedal as well. You know, for me, if you're going to have a dual pedal, unless I can control them separately, I'm personally in a live situation not as bit interested in it.
All right, then. So you got the Paisley Drive Deluxe going. What else is on your board that you're using? It doesn't have to be from us, but just in general.
Well, I'll tell you my signal chain because it gets quite complicated. It comes in via a Line 6 G30 because I hate the feel of a cable running against my leg when I'm playing. It actually makes me feel claustrophobic.
Really?
But it's just made me feeling weird. I took an electric shock in I got a circuit through my guitar when I was about 19 as well. So I've always been a bit wary of that.
Yeah, wireless will fix that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. It comes in into the looper. Channel one is, wow, what is it? It's the pre-gain side of a Strymon Mobius.
Okay.
Because you can split the Strymon into pre and post gain. So you can put things like a vibe and all the phaser and stuff before you gain, because that's where it sits better.
Right.
So it goes into there, and then it goes into a mini ego, and then straight into the Tumnus. And then it goes into channel two of the Paisley Drive Deluxe, and then into channel one of the Paisley Drive Deluxe, because I want to push number one with number two. So it sits that way. And then it comes out of there into the post-gain side of the Mobius for choruses and tremolo. And then it goes into currently a Strymon Timeline. But I think I'm about to remove that for a Source Audio Nemesis because I need patches, because I have too many different delays going. And
yeah, the Nemesis looks pretty cool.
Mm. Mm.
Very interesting.
It's great. It's smaller. It's less complicated because I can't stand endless submenus. I don't have the patience for it. love the timeline, but it's just too much on a... I don't have the time or the inclination to spend 10 minutes sorting out low-pass filters and high-pass filters on my delay times. You know, I know a guy that does that in pedals anyway. You know, I kind of know a guy, and he generally does things like that, but I don't want to be able to think about things like that because I don't think about it in that way.
Are you saying you don't want 45 different parameters and what to change on your delay? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, basically. I mean, it reminds me of a great drawing that Philippe Herndon, our friend from Caroline Guitar Company, did a couple of years ago. He drew out someone's pedal board, and instead of writing, you know, the Strymans, he put supercomputer for delay and supercomputer for reverb. And it just kind of sums it up, really. I'm a bit of a plug and play kind of guy. But yeah, that's probably going. And then it comes out of that. It goes into a DB Plus for solo boost, because if I'm going to attempt to play a solo, I'd at least want someone to hear it.
I love that. So the background, your wife says, we can all hear you.
Yeah. My wife comes to every gig virtually. And
as a guitar player, you can never be loud enough.
I should tell her, actually. I'm actually recording a podcast at the moment.
No, let's keep that in. That's awesome.
Yeah, probably going to stay in. So, people can hear. And then it comes out of that and it goes into the TC Mimic, which goes to the Bravado and the Quilter into a homemade 2x12 that I use. And all being pushed by my PRS Brent Mason that I absolutely love.
I've never played one.
Mm. It's not a out of the box. Oh my God, I love it. You know, like the first time I played your Whitfield Tele, it's just you sit there and you just go, oh, this is perfect, because it does what a Telecaster should do in the right way. This one does a little bit of everything in the right way, so you have to get used to it. But once you get used to it, it's incredible.
You should bring it to NAMM.
Well, I nearly brought it to the last three. The last three that I've done, I've nearly brought it, but until they can guarantee me that it won't go in the hold, I'm not gonna bring it.
Yeah, I almost got thrown off a plane. I think it was last year, because I'm like, look, this is the law. You have to let me have this on the plane. And they straight up told me, they said, no, if you want that guitar on the plane, then you need to buy a ticket for it.
Yeah, you see, you have the beauty of the, I think it's the FCC. I think it's effectively, it's American law. And that doesn't mean anything when you stood in London Heathrow.
Well, and it doesn't mean anything in America, apparently, either, because they wouldn't, literally, they would not let me take that guitar on the plane.
A lot of people I know who fly with their guitars have it on their iPads, have the legal document on their iPads, and they show it to the check-in staff.
I did that as well, and they said, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah, it was an argument. Yeah, I was arguing with the manager.
Which airline's this? Let's name and shame.
I want to say it was American Airlines, or it might have been Delta. They all suck. So let's just say all of them do that, because they all pretty much suck balls. I've had that problem. That's why I quit bringing the Whitfields to Winter NAMM, because like only about 10% of the time would I ever get a cool agent. It's like, yeah, we get it. It's an expensive guitar. We can put it up here with our stuff in the closet. Oh no!
Yeah.
No, they're like, nah. You need to go ahead and stick that in, you know, in the baggage.
Every time I go, I travel with Tom Quayle. I meet Tom at Heathrow. It's about the only time we ever see each other. Is at NAMM. It's a bit crazy because we're in the same country. We're not hugely far apart, but we always meet up, and he always brings one of his beautiful guitars with him, and the look of sheer terror in his face as we're approaching the check-in part, the boarding part. Yeah, I can see it, and I think, do I want to do that? I think I will do it one day, providing I can get some kind of assurance.
Right.
Because I would love to bring it, because it does humbucker really well. It does single coil really well. So it would be a great guitar to have in the booth. I'm not sure I'd like random people to come up and play it, though.
That's the other thing about NAMM, is you have, don't get me wrong, I have no problem with people playing my guitar. I do have a problem with people that don't respect their hygiene in playing my guitar.
Well, let's be honest, Brian. Let's be honest. There's normal person's level of hygiene. Then there's extreme level of hygiene. And then there's the Wampler level of hygiene. I feel I need to put myself through some kind of sheep dip every time, you know, before I get to NAMM, just so I can be approaching your levels of cleanliness.
What is sheep dip?
Oh, do you not have that? It's once a year, the local farmers, or the farmers around here, they dip their sheep into this stuff, and it cleans them. It kills all the parasites. And
oh, really?
What if you buy this it's like on some Amazon? Bleach bath or something. It's some highly toxic thing. It doesn't hurt them, but it just comes a bit of a saying around here. You know, you have to go into sheep dip if you want to be.
So apparently that's what I need to do with my guitars when I come back from him.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just get a nice, you know, a bleach bath and just submerse it in there for a couple of minutes and it would just be fine.
No, I say that literally because I've had guitars that people had like blood on their hands. Seriously. And I've had blood left on my guitar necks and strings. Oh. Oh, it's just dear. Like, so it's not that I'm kind of being a douche. It's just that.
Yeah.
If you got bloody hands, go wash your hands, man.
I just another thing as well, a music messer about 4 years ago, I was sharing a room with Tom that day. We don't do music messer anymore because it's nowhere near the show it was.
Right.
But Tom picked up a new guitar, one of the Fibonacci's, and it was pristine. And he played it on the booth for about an hour and then put it down. And then someone just came up and picked it up and was playing some super mega funky stuff, but they were using a copper pick. And so the top of his brand new guitar got all scratched up by this idiot with a copper pick who just thought he could, I don't know who he thought he was, but he was really going for it. You know, it was that thing, I'm on a booth and there's a famous guitar player in front of me, I'm going to show off a bit. And Tom's face was just, I mean, you know Tom, he's a gentleman. He's the ultimate gentleman. He's the nicest guy you could ever meet. And this guy was really pushing his button. It was when he noticed it, it was kind of like, you need to stop that now, please. This is, you know, he there was some fruity language from our friend Tom that day.
Really?
But yeah. So I worry about that. I mean, my guitar, I treat it like the same way a carpenter treats a hammer. You know, I don't wrap it up in cotton wool. I famously drop them down the stairs when I get new guitars. I slide it down the last four steps at home so it gets its first ding, so I don't have to worry about it. So my guitar's pretty beat up. It's fairly relict already, but I just it's every scar on it is one of mine, and I don't want someone else to do. I don't know, I might do it, mate. I might do it. I don't know. I'm the jury is out on that one.
You'd be like, see the crack on this headstock? This is from whenever I flew Delta Airlines or whatever. This is from my flight to America.
See, you're not encouraging me very much here. You're not talking me into it very much here, mate.
It's because I've had the worst problem with guitars and airlines. Even showing them this document that's the law that says they have to make space on the plane. I've literally got the big middle finger from the management of the people taking, you know, making decisions. And what do you do at that point? I mean, even sitting in their face and arguing with them, they're like, well, you can just not get on this plane.
They kind of have you by the balls, don't they? They have you by the balls.
They really do.
They are in charge. They are in charge.
And some people, you give them a little bit of power, and they use it to their full extent, you know? And that's what these airlines do.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. They're just...
They're like, I am your God. I have control right now.
Yeah, see, this is the bit where we might have to get Bob to edit out, because I'm having trouble controlling my language at this point, because there's many words that I could use to describe these people, but I'm not kind of words I would usually use when I'm talking to you. But no, it is almost like a God complex, isn't it?
Well, see, in America, we make up words for cuss words, so we can freak the freak out.
You know? Yeah, but you're terrible at making up cuss words.
Oh, we're doing this terrible. You know,
you're rubbish. You're utterly rubbish. I think you've only contributed one, and it's awful, and that's douche. That's just a terrible word.
It does mean something different than it does in your country and basically outside of America. Yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, because here, in a, like, I'm trying to think of a good way to put it. Like, if I call myself a douche, that just means I'm kind of a jerk of a guy.
Yes.
You know? But
yes. See, one of your most offensive words that you inherited from us means the same thing over here. And I was very surprised because it's a word I use a lot. The four-letter word that kind of has at the end of it, with maybe a T and a at the front and something else. Over here, it just means a bit of an idiot.
But over there, it's
really, really offensive. And I was dropping it all the time years ago. And Amanda actually said to me many years ago, she said, "Do you know what that means over here?"
And I said, part of the female anatomy.
Yeah, and she kind of explained it to me, and I was gently horrified because I do think I'd actually said it a couple of times in front of the lovely Kathy, who is no longer with us.
God love her.
But
Kathy,
my word, she's not the kind of lady that you use extreme swear words in front of. She's far too lovely and far too
nice respectful.
You just don't,
and,
you know, the conversations you and I would normally have, we wouldn't have in front of Kathy.
Right.
And I'd said it, and I felt the need to, you know, Skype her immediately and apologize and try to explain how that word really just means a bit of an idiot over here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's fantastic.
But it is quite funny now, because when her and her husband are watching British television programs and a swear word comes that they're not familiar with it, she will text me and say, "What does this mean?" And she makes me give her an explanation of what the word means. So I'm their bad language thesaurus from over the pond.
Oh, it always helps to have someone in another country to explain bad cuss words, huh?
Yes, yeah, that's my role in life. I am the filth dictionary.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. Yeah, so I don't watch much British TV programs or anything like that, because I like real humor, you know?
Yeah, you think Jim Carrey's funny, bro.
I am a bit of a Jim Carrey fan. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, his level of comedy in pulling a stupid face and waving his arm around is just unsurpassed.
Yeah.
I don't know where he gets it from. I don't know what his inspiration is, but the man's obviously a comic genius.
I would compare myself some with my humor side of me. I would compare myself somewhere between Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler, you know?
Yes, Adam Sandler. He's another one.
that's what kind of thing things resonate with me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not Monty Python, are they, really?
No. Yeah, see, Monty Python, I'm like, I've got to – hold on. For this to be funny, I've got to actually think.
When you watch TV or you watch a film, you effectively like to turn your brain off, don't you? You just want to be entertained.
Yes.
That's the way you view things.
If I'm watching something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're so concentrating on whatever it is you're doing during the day, or knowing you, throughout the night as well. So when because I don't concentrate as hard as you do on the technical stuff, I need something a little more cerebral.
Well, I think it's just
you're just at it all the time, though, aren't you? Your brain doesn't stop.
I mean, for my brain to actually turn off, it's half a Xanax and a couple of beers.
Yeah, so you view humor as that turning off, don't you? That's what you use to turn your brain off. I use it for the other way. I use it. I get inspiration from the silly stuff, which is why a lot of our pedals names and graphics have been relating to pop culture recently.
Right.
Because I'm constantly thinking and looking at it and thinking, oh, that sounds fun.
Right. See, that stuff actually energizes me. So, like, for example, I can't, at the end of the night, I can't, like, really watch a documentary and then go to bed because it's making me think. And so it stimulates me. So I literally have to watch some sort of dumb movie or show, something that requires no thought.
Because you would go away and research it for 3 hours, wouldn't
you?
Oh,
I would. Yeah, it'd send me off on some expedition online where I'd be researching things and taking notes and,
How many times have we had this conversation?
Responding on Facebook forums regarding the subject and everything.
So many times I've said something as a throwaway comment, and about 2 weeks later you say, you know that thing you said to me the other day? Well, I've been researching online. And I just think, oh, here we go.
That's what you should have done with that comment. Take the next 3 weeks and research it. Yeah,
just, I'm, you know, frantically in my brain trying to work out what did I say, was it a throwaway, did I make it up, I possibly made it up, I don't know, did I say it just to freak him out, because it's all possible.
Oh yeah, that is, that's very true.
That's it. It's a new game, actually. See how much I can make Brian research something.
Oh yeah, so I put, speaking of researching things, today's, as we record this, is the 24th of September. The world ended yesterday, in case you weren't aware. An author named David Mead, I think his name is, popularized a book about the end of the world being on September 23rd with this fake planet that was going to crash into Earth and kill us all. And, yes.
So we're actually living in a post-apocalypse Planet X Matrix version now. Actually, we are actually all dead. We're just plugged in.
Right.
To the iPhone mainframe, and we're not existing. This is just some kind of Matrix blue pill silliness.
Yep, and I keep trying to walk on walls, and I just fall on my butt.
It's just ridiculous.
So, yeah.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, it was supposed to end on my birthday. Some mad one had worked it out from the Mayan calendar.
Oh, yeah,
the world
was going to
end on this. Yeah. But the thing that cracked me up about that I had a lot of fun on Facebook with, was this was before the concept of the leap year. This was worked out. Mm-hmm. It was before they'd worked out that it actually takes 365 and a quarter days to go around the sun.
Right.
So every 4 years we have a leap year. And the Mayan calendar wasn't aware of that. So the end of the world was actually at a completely different time. And I just, there was several one-sentence comments dropped in on Facebook and various social networks where I was just informing people of the leap year thing.
Right.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious because then they would try to justify it, and that's when it gets silly. I just can't believe people believe this stuff.
No, you're exactly right.
The world can't end. We've still got too many circuits to bring out.
It can't end yet because I don't want it. I don't want it to be done.
No.
there's other distortion pedals to be put out in the world.
There is. I mean, there's that delay thing that we've been talking about the last few weeks. There's the other delay thing I emailed Jake about a couple of weeks ago. We've got the one overdrive that everyone is asking about all the time that may or may not be coming at some point in the future.
The urban drive's coming out here shortly, right?
Oh, the urban drive, of course. Yeah, we're still in the proto stage of that, of course.
Oh no, I don't think that's going to come out.
I think it's just got some hip hop beats in it these days, isn't it?
It's just got some techno dance beats whenever you turn it on.
Yeah,
which basically is the state of country music right now.
See, I watched that documentary on telly. What's it called? Nashville.
Oh, yes.
I think it's a documentary. It's a documentary. It's definitely not a drama. It's real life, apparently. And they all do proper country music. So I don't know why everyone's going on about. There's no bro country on there. And I know that's a documentary, so it must be true. Bro country doesn't exist. It's all proper singing steel guitars and songs about dogs and things rather than trucks and beer.
Not so much anymore, yeah. There's not as much Earl Dibbles Jr., and there's way more Sam Hunt type stuff, which is, you know, basically...
Did you just make those names up?
No, you know who Earl Dibbles Jr. is, right?
He makes ice cream, doesn't he?
No.
Earl Dibbles. That sounds like someone's porn star name, to be honest.
No.
I'm going to look that up later.
You got to look up Earl Dibbles Jr. about being a country boy. He's got the best song ever. Every cliche in the world is in that song. And so he made this video and this song. I think it was kind of like making fun of country music. And it took off. And so he started. And he's an actual artist that like does other things, right? So he actually, when you go to one of his shows, he has two of them. He has like his regular stuff. And he has the Earl Dibbles Jr. segment, which is like completely cliched country music, redneck, skull spitting, you know, gun shooting type of thing, you know?
Yeah. I need to look at that.
It's called The Country Boy Song, I think is what the name of the song's called.
Earl Dibbles Jr.
Yes. Yeah.
That's I'm sure you're winding me up. I'm gonna search for that, and it's gonna lead me to some dodgy site somewhere, and my wife's gonna look at my history and say, "What are you looking at this for?" I said, "It's Brian's fault. He told me to look up Earl Dibbles Jr. I didn't know what it was.
He made a comment. I was researching."
Yes. Oh, you got me back. Oh, I'm not having that. Right, the game is going to be upped again.
All right, so let's wrap this up with the great big bow. So yes. Basically, if you're a retailer, stop selling our stuff before the release date. Step one.
If we send an email and say, this is the new product, but please do not put it on your site before a certain date, then we're not joking. We're not doing it for a bit of a laugh. That date is there for a reason.
It's not a test.
I know it looks like what we do is completely random, but I've spent ages with Alex working all this out, and now we've just... I've had to release most of it on a Sunday morning at the end of September when it should have been in the middle of October, and it's just...
Right.
But hey, it's out there, so let's run with it. We've got some demo videos coming. We've got some nice pictures coming. It's going to be awesome. We'll be all right.
Yep. And I think if everything works out right, we're going to have a very, very good special video from someone.
Yes. I've spoken to Her Majesty, and I'm going up to London next week, because obviously you have to pre-book when you go to the palace. But she's restrung her Telecaster, and she's going to make a video for us.
That'd be awesome. Does she have a G bender on it?
I think there's some kind of laws, some ancient Michael laws, where she can't use a G bender. So I don't think so. I think it's something to do with swans and having to bow. I think she's more of a B bender person, which I told her is flatly ridiculous, because who does she think she is? Brent Mason?
No, Brent Paisley.
So
you can't do G bender licks with a B bender. Come on.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, it's not as if the guitar is tuned in a certain way where notes are replicated or anything. I mean, what does she think this is? But yes, we've got some good videos coming, and we've got a lot of videos coming for this, actually. We've got some very good videos coming from the usual suspects and quite a few that people won't be expecting.
And I might even do one. I don't know yet. Depends. Yeah. Depends how I feel.
Yeah. We get you to do one because it's expected, isn't it? You know, everyone wants a Brian video. We just put it up there to amuse you.
Really, yeah. Brian. And I just, you know, basically I just turn the pedal on. I'm like, yeah, these knobs do things and stuff. And
oh, don't forget, you've got to open the video with your head coming in from the side, as per usual.
Or goats, or my cat. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we need to make a complete video with that cat and your goats.
I've actually thought about that. So maybe this will be its debut. Just an entire Paisley Drive Deluxe video with the cat.
Well, you know what's going to happen? We're going to spend months and months and months talking about an April Fool video, and then you and I will get drunk at NAMM. And we'll end up talking about doing goats and cats, and it'll end up being that. We'll have all these wonderful plans for this wonderful video that's going to be hilarious, and then we'll end up just getting drunk at NAMM and coming up with nonsense as we normally do.
Very possibly. Even though I'm a bit on the wagon these days. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Blimey. You all right?
Yeah. Just getting older, man. Getting older. Got to be. It's time for me to be responsible.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate it when you say you're getting older, because I'm a year older than you. Makes me feel old.
You know, honestly, I looked around. I know I'm trying to wrap this up, but honestly, I looked around and I'm like, all right, all these like 40-year-old dudes that own their own businesses, like the stresses are eating at them, and they tend to become like a lot of alcohol or drug addicts. You know what I mean?
Well, we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? A lot of them are functioning alcoholics, aren't they?
So, yeah. You know, and I'm like, I don't want that to be my life. You know?
No. Yep, I agree, because I stopped all that nonsense a while ago. So I'm the only person I know that goes to a gig and goes with two bottles of Mountain Dew and doesn't drink any alcohol when I'm playing.
It's probably better for you to drink alcohol than Mountain Dew, though.
Yeah, but the buzz, dude. Who needs drugs when you got Mountain Dew?
I've just replaced it with nicotine gum and coffee.
Yeah, you and your coffee. Yeah.
All right. Well, so thanks so much for being on the Chasing Host podcast again this week.
That's fine. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I would love to yell at you some other time as well. So,
oh, don't worry, that'll probably happen at some point during the week. It's not normally a few days go by when you don't feel the need to yell at me about something, usually justified, to be honest. But
all right, well, thanks for being on, man.
No worries, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. If you like this podcast, we'd appreciate it if you could leave a review on iTunes. Just search for Chasing Tone Podcast. Plop in a couple stars there if you like it. Maybe a quick blurb about what you like and don't like. Hopefully you like more than you don't like. Just that helps us reach more people. It helps us lets us know that you're out there listening to us, because without your feedback, without your comments, without your emails to us, we don't know who's listening or not. If no one's listening, then we will not continue. So that kind of helps us gauge whether what we're bringing you is value or not. So we appreciate all of that, all the comments, you know, the emails, the reviews, all that sort of thing. So thanks again for listening. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.